Previously on X-Men.
It's Jay. I'm back in for another one, and today I have with me...
Epotamus Prime.
That's right. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing. What's happening?
Not much. We're here to talk about X-Men 97.
Yes, sir.
A show to me that I think had no business being this good. I was surprised, taken back, didn't know what to think. I knew it was coming out. Now, I didn't start from the beginning, but I did go back a season, like, let me at least do the last season of the old show just to kind of get caught up, because you don't know how close stuff is going to be. And we heard in the past before how this is supposed to be a continuation, or this is supposed to take place the next day. And you watch that thing, you'd be like, that has nothing to do with the last thing at all. They just wanted to trick you to go back to get ratings for the last thing that they had. Like, you could just live and go on without that thing, but they make it feel like it's imperative. So I've heard when folks have said, hey, this is directly connected, or this is part two, and it feels like a totally different thing. Now, I would expect this to be a totally different thing, you know, 50 years since the last episode of the original show. So it would be kind of hard, you know, it's a different time, right? Different time, different tone, different mentality, you know, words that used to be common is not common anymore. Things that people wear would be different. Jokes, the way you tell stories would be different. Nowadays, we're in a situation where everything is so heady and it makes sense, and you have like complete stories for the most part, right? I think back in the day, shows, including cartoons especially, had this crazy shorthand that sometimes you go back and look and be like, this doesn't make any sense. Or you watch a music video and you'd be like, that didn't make no sense. But they thinking they're telling some kind of narrative. But it's almost like, I can't tell if it's like I accepted that stuff because I was younger, or that was just the time and that made sense at that time. But I know I look back on some things that's narrative driven, and I don't see it. It's like, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't give me enough to have a conclusion. This doesn't make me feel full. You know, it's flashy, but I don't feel. So to think that something's going to be a continuation of something, and it's almost kind of like when I rewatched it, especially that last season, I was almost thinking like, now, at first I was kind of thinking like, okay, now you said you're going to be a continuation. It's going to take place right after you said, right? And as soon as I watched that last season, I was like, please don't. I know you said that you was going to continue this. I know you said it's going to feel like this show, but either they had a bad last season, or my memory doesn't serve me correctly, or it was just my mind at the time thought it was okay. But as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, no. I know I was going to hold you to giving me what was there before, but I take it back. I'm scared for what you promised me, and I'm afraid you're going to give it to me. Because when I watched that last season, I was like, this is rough.
Yeah.
Now, my issue back in the day with this show, even though I was glad to have the X-Men, right? We've been seeing X-Men since we were kids in the comic book. So we grew up with the X-Men, right? Like, different levels of popularity. And like you mentioned, we were talking earlier about, you know, Jim Lee and his old era and stuff. And you got Chris Claremont, who's a person who's been there for a long time and got, you know, could ground things. And then Jim Lee could show off with the artwork and things like that. Like, a good combination that really made a difference and really changed things, you know. But it's funny, that change didn't last long because he ended up separating to do his own thing. But But X-Men been through so many different iterations with different, mainly the same writer, which is cool, which explains a lot. But then, you know, different art and styles and stories and things like that. So it was interesting to have a cartoon that respected the source material enough to give you versions of those stories. So you'd be like, oh, I read that book, but this is an interpretation of it. And they might have the same licenses or because of the format. And so they would have to compromise. But you would recognize and you would feel at least this had the heart of that story, or this feels like, or the replacement that they use this person instead of that person, that kind of makes sense. But like I said, just seeing it again, I was like, okay, it was good for the time, but I, you know, we'll see. But one of my biggest issues with the old show was the art style. Now, we had that teaser preview pilot of an X-Men show. Yeah, 91, that didn't come out. Yes. That it was just that one, right? Now, they did make, you know, Wolverine and Ozzy.
Yes, yes.
Which I was thinking, but, like, I don't remember reading his Oscar. When I heard his voice, I'm like, I don't remember that, but I'll allow it just because it looks so good, right?
So good.
So good. It's almost like G.I. Joe when they had a good budget.
Yes. Yeah.
Is more aligned with that.
Like G.I. Joe the movie.
Yeah, exactly. When they have a good budget. And so I thought, okay, man. So when I saw what they had, I'm thinking like, ugh.
Yeah.
They had the hard shadows that didn't make any sense. They could turn around in a circle and the shadow still be on the left-hand side regardless of what angle that they're at. And Wolverine's
anatomy is wonky.
Yeah, it's just wonky and stuff. And it's just like the animation was very crude even back then. So it was never, I was never young enough to think that looked good. How about that?
Yeah.
But I accepted it because really the story was good. It had heart. And where else are you going to get it? If you know, beggars can't be choosy. We were lucky to have a show like that that really kind of went through. Now, a show that had story and then upped the art in the same kind of way and did it the right way to me, or refined it, was the Batman animated series. That was almost the next level where you had the style that was consistent and you also had the story that was good. So that was kind of a, you know, one of the steps before we got to Batman. And so when I heard this show was coming, I was thinking like, I had mixed feelings. Like I said, I was excited that I was going to hold it, make it accountable. And then I saw the show. I knew it was going to be a tightrope walk. I was just curious on how they're going to pull it off because it was so many different things. Like I said, that tone, just even from issue to issue or story to story or movie to movie, it's hard to keep that tone that just kind of clicks. And so I didn't know somebody's going to be doing a parody of something or thinking they were on point, but was off and was going to get it wrong. And it was just going to stand out so much because when it's in your mind's eye of what something is, it's like, it was going to be hard to do, right? Everybody's wanted to win, but know it's going to fail. And so when I saw that trailer and then, you know, some of those voices sound familiar, which I was kind of surprised. I was thinking like, well, either they brought somebody back or they got some good like-sounding people. But for the most part, they got the original cast. Some of the cast, like the woman who did the voice for Rogue, she's there. But the woman who did Jean Grey, she didn't come back. They have a different person for Jean. But she did the voice of, I think it's the president.
Mm-hmm.
So when you heard about X-Men 97, what was your initial thoughts about it when you heard it was coming back?
All right, so I'm just to step back really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the 91 pilot episode, which, like, I remember as a kid seeing that and taping it and playing that videotape till it busted and couldn't play it anymore.
So by the tape popped.
Man, by the time the X-Men show came on, I was so disappointed that I was never a fan of the old show. Like, I would have it on at times when I would be drawing or doing something else.
Yeah.
But I never paid attention. Like, I was really critical of it. I couldn't even get into the story. It just turned me off so much. Like,
oh, wow.
Even though Wolverine had that horrible Aussie accent in the other one, I was just like, I'm giving it a pass because everything else is just so on point that you know what I mean? And like the new Wolverine's voice, even though it wasn't Aussie, and the argument can be made that it's closer to Wolverine, I still didn't like it. And even brought the same guy back.
Yeah.
And I still kind of cringe a little bit at the voice. I just think it's because the lines are better that I'm not so critical of it.
Mm-hmm.
But to answer your question, so I'm going to give a shout out to my boy Chase Connolly.
Okay.
Who's one of the character designers and directors. And I've been following that dude for a long time on the gram. And so I would ask him questions and we'd correspond and talk about, you know, art stuff and other, you know, out of art worldly things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I showed him to you one time when you came over. I showed you his X-Men stuff. It was years back, but it was drawn in the style of like that Ninja Scroll style.
Okay. We always talk in art, and every time we come and catch up, we always kind of do a dump of,
spam each other with all this.
Who are you checking out right now?
So he had been designing X-Men and drawing them kind of in his style for like years.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time, you know, it came up, it popped up on his feed. It was like X-Men 97. And he just put that. He was being real coy. Mm-hmm. X-Men 97. And I was like, oh, y'all about to do something. And then it wasn't until a year later that he actually like gave some more details about what was going on, that they were bringing the show back. So I already knew that it was coming back years before it did. And I knew with his involvement how much he loved it, that it was going to be. And I just thought he was a character designer at the point. It turns out that he ended up being a character designer, a storyboarder, and a director. And I just knew from correspondence that we had that he had the same love for X-Men that like that we have. And I knew that he wouldn't be involved in something. I mean, you know, you get involved with things, you know, I always have the ability to affect change. But I feel like he was going to be involved with something that he felt he wanted to be proud of. So I actually wasn't I wasn't worried. I knew it was going to turn out better than the old show. Now, when I thought that they were doing it initially before I saw the trailer, I thought they were going to do a total modernization of it.
That's what I did too. I did too.
So when I first saw the trailer and I saw that they pretty much kept the characters the way they were, but just like put some polish on them and was like, okay, let's get this closer to the source material. I was actually pretty surprised but happy with it. I think they did a fabulous job. It's different than what I thought they were gonna do, but looking back at it, I'm kind of glad they did it that way.
Like I said, I was surprised that they did. To me, they did what they said it was going to do, which shocked me. And what shocked me more is that they was able to pull it off. And so, like the showrunner and the writer, Bo DeMeo.
Bo DeMeo, yeah.
Yeah, and that's so interesting too that he got let go and disappeared, you know, right before this thing's about to be released. And so I don't know exactly what went down, but I thought it was also interesting that it's just like almost like with the Avatar show, when you have the creators or people who are supposed to be show running or the head of it dip out, it's almost kind of like, what does that mean? Is it some personal thing? Is it they don't stand by something? They had a studio interference, something didn't work out. So it made me really wonder what that meant, you know, because it was very cryptic and really just not disclosing anything about what went down with him. But, you know, social media, everything just to be wiped off like that is very interesting. But I was just kind of curious. But, you know, he did the first season, second season, and was starting on third. And so, since we don't even know what went down with the guy, I'm glad that it didn't mean that we wasn't going to get this. I'm glad it wasn't shelved. You know what I mean? Because sometimes if somebody's hands in something and something isn't right, then sometimes they'll just be like, you know what? Instead of hearing all the extra stuff about it or backlash, how about we just pull the plug and whatever? Because for them, it's right off. For us, we've been waiting our lives for stuff like this. Not necessarily this, but stuff like this, you know, as fans, you know, we want these interpretations. We want these stories retold. And so, like you, like I said, that original style, that first X-Men show, it killed me. I just couldn't take it. But like I said, I would watch it because of the story, and I just wanted my X-Men fix. So when I saw this, first of all, it's just beautiful to look at. It's so clean. You know, it's almost between the old show and that pilot show that I love. It feels like that on a good day. And it's interesting because you could tell that it is computer assisted, right? It's a combination, and they found a great balance where they're using it to have like consistency with the look and models of the characters and stuff, which you didn't get in the first one because it was all over the place. So just to have that kind of stability and then the shading and stuff like that, it's just like the best of both worlds. I will say something I noticed later on when it went like with Storm and stuff like that. When she has shadows in a certain kind of place, those shadows did always stay. And I thought it was kind of funny because on other parts, you can see how they have, you know, shading, and the shading moves, and it's, you know, it's not heavily detailed, but just enough for a smooth style. It's almost like anime in a way too. They pulled a lot of stuff in the style where it is, you know, kind of realistic, but it's also bendable without it breaking the reality of it. And so it was funny when I saw characters like Storm in her costume, where she would have the harsh shadow lines. I'm like, oh, here's the harsh shadow lines again. But you kind of forgive it because it kind of fits. Because if you
With
did take
the
that
savage
away,
language,
right? If you did take that away, you wouldn't notice it, right? It's like we clean this up, but we're not trying to clean it up. We're just trying to, you know, give you what you thought you remembered. Not me, because I remember the hot mess. But you know, what people who thought that looked good, you know, in their mind's eye, that's what it would have looked like. But I was just like, wow. And so I just found myself just rewatching all the episodes, mainly because I just liked how pretty it was. I thought it was interesting too, how they stuck to storytelling as far as wrapping up arcs and stuff and stories within 15 and 30 minutes, right? Yeah. Like I thought that was going to go, because that kind of stuff doesn't happen anymore, where you have the whole season will be an arc. But to have these, like the style of old, where it's these tight stories.
Kind of like a procedural.
Right, yeah, right.
There's an overall season arc, but each episode right. is its own.
And to pull that out with big concepts and big story arcs that we know what the whole thing was, it's like they pulled that off in 15 minutes. They pulled that off in 30 minutes, and you don't feel like it was stolen from you. You don't feel like how did I get here? What's this about? You know, it's kind of like that's how they did it back then, but it's tighter. It's like those music videos that people thought that it made sense and they don't now. They did the same trick in the same time span, but made it like, okay, they stuck the landing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I wish it was more, because I know if they're doing this, man, I wish they would have took more time with it. But did I get all the points I needed? Did I feel lost? No, they were all there. It was just so good, I wanted another bite. And so that's how I kind of felt with that. And I just, like I said, I couldn't get enough of those episodes to the point where I just kept rewatching them just because, you know, I just love seeing them. I love the banter. They have the X-Men actually dealing with each other. You know what I mean? It wasn't just like we see each other just when it's time to fight. And when you fight, you're on different sides of the screen, or he's over there and he's over. No, they're teaming up and they're throwing each other and they're powering up each other. And man, oh.
Yeah, they did a really good job of the shorthand, the dialogue, to be able to say so much and to hint at so much history and have the nice Easter eggs that pop out at you if you know.
Right.
And if you don't know, it still leaves a little bit for you to go, oh, what was that about?
Right. And they're also doing some revisionist history without being obvious about it. Because like I knew this was a different show when that first episode, and that situation happened where they're in the ship and the ship get blown up, and you know, everybody can't fly, right? And so people are getting saved. So the people who can fly, like Rogue and Storm, you know, gotta save your buddies, gotta save Beast. Beast can't fly, you know, you gotta save Wolverine. Wolverine can't fly, right? Like, who gonna get Cyclops? He can't fly.
Oh man. We need to have a talk about Scott Summers.
What? He was talking like he was Angel or something. He was like,
solid work, team. See you on the ground.
I will see y'all on the ground. I mean, like what, in a puddle?
Listen, after what Fox did with Scott, they had to make him show out. They had to make him show out.
Because he always played him to be like, you know, the third wheel. Like he's getting in the way of Wolverine and Jean's love. That's how they use him. And he got to be the, you know, because Wolverine's so cool. No, he got to be the stick in the mud. So it was just like, I will see you on the ground. And he proceeds to nosedive as if he had a parachute, but we could see that he had no parachute on his back. And I'm just thinking like, okay, where are we going with this? And he pulled that, oh man.
Talk about sticking the landing, like literally and figuratively. and then he got the nerve to say,
to me, my X-Men.
To me, my
X-Men.
Yeah, okay, that right there, you knew that you watching a different kind of show.
I knew, and I was in love. I'm like, okay, anything you want, you know, just more, please. The first 3 minutes, when he's going to go save Sunspot, and he got that situation where he's in that warehouse and he's boxing those guys down and using his beams to push them across the floor?
Yeah.
I'm like,
they just upped the ante. MCU better show out with X-Men. They gotta come correct now.
No, they're gonna have a problem. They shouldn't have did it. They shouldn't have did this. This is wrong. They shouldn't have did it. They made their job even harder. They messed up. What you don't want to give a fanboy is an alternative that's better. You don't want that. We can easily point to and be like, hey, you should have did that. You know what I mean? Like, you do not want to give ammunition.
Yeah, yeah. Why didn't you do that and you own it?
Right, exactly.
You see how we be acting with Clone Wars.
Exactly.
How you going to show me Ahsoka, a TV show, and I already seen her on Clone Wars and you mess it up? Don't y'all own both properties?
Right. Don't y'all talk to each other? Obviously not. So that's what I'm saying. They messed up by showing this, because it was just like, they're taking these characters serious. Like I said, they're giving you stuff they didn't have to give you. Like, they didn't have to have Scott, you know, being a badass like that. They didn't have to do all the extra animation and stuff. They didn't have to do that. That was unnecessary, but oh, I thank them for it. I couldn't, man, just, it, yeah, yeah. So I like how, and you, and also it goes to show you with giving him those moments, that did not take away one thing from Wolverine at all.
No.
At all. It didn't take anything away from all the other characters. I like how, I thought it was kind of dope too, seeing Storm. And I like how they gave her this really chocolate covered skin. I thought that was really cool too. And then the hairstyle, man, the designs, like you said, the dude you're talking about, like that, those designs, they're just so clean. It's so classic. It's like your mind's eye of those characters, and they're just, and they're moving, and they've got some familiar voices, some new voices, but doing a great interpretation. I think the guy who's doing Cyclops is a new guy. The guy who's doing Beast, I think he's the same. The guy who's doing Wolverine's the same. It's a good mixture, but it was just like too cool. We got a new guy doing Morph, and I think Morph, it's interesting how they're using that Morph character, because, you know, just like in the original show, I love how Morph is all the characters you want on that team up. If you're saying like, hey, I want to see, you know, Angel with them, Morph might become Angel. I love that. That gives you that bonus character you want in your game. You know what I mean? And Morph could be all of them. And they're not shy about who they're having him become, which I thought was kind of dope. And so I like how they're playing that character. It's just like, they're using all the real estate. They are not leaving anything unturned or unused, and it's a sight to see, man. It's a sight to see. They changed the voice actress for Jubilee, you know, because of current times, you know. So it's an Asian woman doing the voice for her now, but she sounds like the original voice for Jubilee, you know. But like I said, it's just consistent. I love, like I said, the soundscape and everything, and the look and the movements and things like that. And I was just thinking like, well, maybe they're gonna kind of cheap out. They haven't cheaped out, you know, four episodes in, and it's just like they're hitting everything fast. And it's just funny because also it feels quicker and they touch on a whole bunch of stuff. But if you think about it, since it's so tied in, it's actually like 1 year after Xavier passes away from the last season. So they just now getting the death certificate, and they said it was like a year. And so the changes that's happening, you got Jean's pregnant with Cyclops' baby, and, you know, the professor is, now we know he's not dead because, you know, he went with Alandria and he went away to try to, you know, fix him, quote unquote, be it, you know, fixing his body. But I think he was already dead, so I don't know if it's getting him a new body or which way they're going to do it. I know they did differently in the comics, but I'm not for sure what they're going to do with this. But we know that he's not dead, but he's out there, and, you know, so, but they are without him. And then you got the whole situation with the enemy is being their leader. And at first I thought he was going to play it like Magneto tricked them or whatever. I'm like, oh, he faked this thing saying he's in charge and all this other kind of stuff. But he's earnestly trying to work it out. He's earnestly trying to pay homage to his friend and almost want to be better because his friend trusted him with this now. And I kind of like how he has to prove himself to the people, the government, and the X-Men. And so it's not just like an automatic, like, he's here, the professor said he's in charge, so we're going to listen to him. It's like, we're going to follow you as long as it sounds good. So even though this was slight hesitation, they are still, you know, a team. And it's nice to see them juggle and work with that without it kind of being, you know, this whole craziness. Or like I said, back in the day, in a show like this, with a situation like this, they would just been friends automatically. You'd be like, wait a minute, he did what to who? And you just going to let him, you know, now he's your friend now. And he's this. So all the stuff that's happening, even though it's a short amount of time, is very much so earned. And I love how it's coming together.
I think it's interesting that, because I remember that storyline in the books when Xavier left and challenged Magneto to be something better, and he came in and took over the school. And what I think is interesting is that they're touching a bunch of stories that they couldn't touch in the old, or they didn't touch in the old show, or they just didn't have the skill as writers or capacities to touch. And so they're kind of zigzagging back and forth through the history. So, like, for instance, in that time when Magneto took over the team, like, Gambit wasn't there, you know what I mean? It was a slightly different roster on the team. Right. And so it's just cool to kind of like see see them zigzagging about it. But then they're also touching on like Rogue and Magneto having that having that thing, and that actually takes place after he's with the team. That was during the time that they were in the Savage Land. Just for them to be able to like touch all these stories and move them back and forth through history, like Storm getting depowered, and I think that's really cool because it gives you all of these stories that you want to see, but now it's a fresh perspective on it because they're taking place at different times in the timeline, different characters are getting to deal with it. So,
and they did that with the original show as well, but not as, like I said, not as well. Yeah. Like they're actually pulling it off in almost less time and pulling off these big feats. And it's interesting, the thing with the Rogue stuff, it touched on a whole bunch of stuff without touching on stuff, because that episode with that one is when Jean becomes the Goblin Queen and start messing with everybody's mind. And so you're seeing insecurities on what's going on. So it's almost hinted at like Morph is, you know, either gay or bisexual. So he has feelings about Wolverine. It was hinted at before, but it was touched on again when he had his vision of Wolverine in the shower. And he's like, do you have a scratch for me to itch? You know, are you getting tired of dealing with redheads or something like that? So he makes these little slick comments and stuff. And then you have Gambit walking in on Magneto and Rogue. And that was in his mind, seeing them together to the point where they were meshed together as almost like, you know, as if they melted into each other and stuff. But it didn't help because you have Morph being a smart ass, checking the danger room, checking the schedule, and it's like, deep, deep, deep. And it's like, Magneto and Rogue, Magneto and Rogue, Magneto. And he's just like poking it, and then again, and then again. That's quite a workout. That's like 4 hours straight, and then another.
Literally poking it and figuratively
poking it. Exactly. Because he knows he's pissing off Wolverine, but you know, but he's kind of digging Wolverine too. Like I said, it's got a lot of layers going on, and it's kind of pulling it off. Like I said, because it could be a hot mess, but they seem to find that
and they're hitting line. Story points really quickly, but it doesn't feel like they're a short amount of times, but it doesn't feel like it's too fast.
Yeah. Like I said, you feel full. You just want more because it's so good.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, they resolved that whole like Jean and Goblin Queen thing like in an issue, and you're like, wow, that was you know, that happened quickly, but it doesn't feel like it was too fast. It felt like, oh, right. Okay, yeah,
right. Only thing I thought was kind of weird about it is that she named herself the Goblin Queen for one, without any kind of why was she called herself that, and then also when she called herself Madeline, and I think why would she name herself that? But I'll allow it because they pulled off the hard part. Right?
Yeah.
They pulled out the hard part in 15 minutes. So what's in a name? She can name herself whatever she wants. Like I said, we got somebody walking around named Wolverine. So you can do whatever you want as far as the names. But I thought it was pretty neat. And then also not milking it and being like, you know, who's who? I checked the DNA. Beast comes up.
Yeah.
We ain't letting this ride. You are the clone. Yeah. Cyclops, he didn't bat an eye. You almost like put the baby down, so kind of looked over like who's you? Yeah, well, the person that has your baby. Yeah. That's who she is. Even if she's not Jean Grey, she's your wife and you gave her that woman a baby. He looking at her like she was a straight stranger. He didn't have no conflict. Hey. He want Jean.
She came to the door and he was all like, Jean?
Right.
Wait a minute. Right. They even do a DNA test.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Why don't you make her the fake one so she walked in the door all late not knowing nothing? The person walking around your baby, wouldn't that be the one that you... He was so quick to dump her. I'm like, whoa. You know? It was funny, but you know, it fit.
Them Summers boys right there.
My only concern is like, you know, like Bo is gone from the show. I hope they hire him as a ghostwriter and don't just, if it's a problem with his name or a problem with him being associated, please pay him under the table and still get the stories and directions because he cracked the code. I don't know how he cracked the code. He made it modern. He made it a little bit edgy. You know, he got some stuff in there that's like, you know, wasn't in the original, but you know, it's good. I'm letting a lot of stuff slide. I'll probably be nitpicky on. Like he performed a miracle. So I'm not going to, you know, over give a hard time about certain things. I'm thinking like, man, why are you putting this in here? Why is this happening? But I'm digging the cake. I can't trip about the ingredients. I ate it and I like it. So I'm good. But like I said, and then they even pulled in Mojo and all this other kind of stuff.
Oh, man. And they give you a complete Mojo story in 15 minutes.
Yes. Yes.
And then 10 minutes of
Forge and Storm. Right.
Right. And it felt like, yes, even that's only the first half, but it's still right. Yeah, it felt like I watched a whole hour episode of Storm and Forge.
Yeah, yeah. I felt the same thing about Sunspot and Jubilee and going through their stuff and then seeing her, what her powers are going to be in the future. And even things like, because at first it was funny, because at first I saw, when I saw Mojo, I'm like, okay, that's a crazy redesign. Because I know Mojo's been in the show before. And I'm like, why he's all thin? I was like, okay, they try to make him more creepy or something, whatever. But then you find out, you know, he was, you know, thin because he wasn't getting a lot of ratings. And his ratings feeds him and makes him big. And he turned back into his own Mojo. So I'd like, they're finding reasons to put lore and storytelling into simple things. He could have just been Mojo the way he always looks. And he could have just been mad because he wasn't getting ratings. Not that he was depressed or losing weight or that whole thing. He's so plugged in that it literally affects him, like social media affects people, like it shows, like, you know. So I thought, like, wow, they're using, like I said, they're using every bit of real estate, and it's just like,
yeah,
it's very wise, it's very witty, the characters feel full, nobody's talking like where you feel like that's out of character. Yeah, man, it's a lot of stuff, you know. Even the hate group, the, what's it, FOHs, like, yeah, even them, they're played well. Even with their, you know, the way they, you know, they do kind of play them like, you know, like these racists or whatever. But it's not even over the top, really. You know, it's just, yeah. And then you got the Sentinels and all this stuff and these great fighting scenes and stuff like that, and the team up scenes. And as many times I've saw X-Men and the comic books and the cartoons and the shows and stuff and movies, Wolverine running and then Gambit gonna jump on his back and charge his
claws.
His claws?
Yeah, they're finding new ways to things.
What? That
you like, you think you've seen it all.
Oh,
and okay. They're doing some new stuff, man.
All right. So you know how when you announce a character or introduction of a character or whatever. Okay. Now, this is one of the situations where not only did the person who didn't do anything but introduce somebody was just as tight as a person who brought it. And it was Scott when he asked Storm and he said,
"Give him the forecast."
Omega level threat detected.
Ancient Sands, heed my command and reclaim these relics of hatred.
And then Storm comes in, and before you even see her, you see they're in this Dooney sand area and you see lightning striking and the sand is turning to glass.
Glass, yes.
And she's just gliding in and lightning striking. So she's stepping on the sheet of glass and she brings up this tornado of glass and it just shreds those sentinels into peace. I'm like, who's coming up? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
I had to be 50 to see this?
Yeah, that's some...
That's crazy.
Yeah, some good choreography right there, man.
And pulled it off, and it didn't look janky.
Yeah.
And that thing was like Omega level threat. You know, like the Sentinels knew it was a problem too. I'm like, wait, what? Who? What? I'm like, bring the forecast. Like, wait, what? It was beautiful. It's beautiful. Yeah, man. The way they're using these characters and stuff, and this, like I said, the storytelling, the artwork, and all that. It's just, yeah. I even appreciate when they had like Gambit, you know, cooking up beignets. You know, just the simple stuff. Just like, you know, they just out there playing basketball or whatever.
Oh, wearing the same stuff that they were wearing in that Jim Lee book. That, there's a lot of nice callbacks, man. Yeah. A lot of nice callbacks.
With the pink crop top.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, man, just the, like I said, the design and everything and the voice acting, it's just like they really emote. And then you have like, you know, stuff going on with Magneto and he's on trial and... You know, he's trying to win everybody back, and it's just like, man.
There's no janky, like, Brotherhood of Evil Mutant stuff, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Remember, like, they did that stuff, too, in the earlier seasons, because they went through a lot of stuff on that original show. So I'm sure that even though there's still more stuff, it's kind of neat that they're still finding other things that they could do without kind of stepping on the toes, but also kind of calling back to it as well at the same time. So that's been pretty cool, because for them to kind of have Magneto again as the bad guy, it would just been repeating what they did earlier in season. So for him to be the reluctant leader slash now hero in a way is very, very different from Magneto. And even though I know that costume is from the comics, that's not my favorite Magneto costume.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was never mine either. I just mean like the whole, like, Like, that was back in the early days of Stan Lee, where they called themselves the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. And it wasn't until later on that they were like, well, no, these people wouldn't call themselves evil because they don't consider themselves evil. They consider right. themselves justified in what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so, like, everything that Magneto is, you know, the way he talks on the new show is like, yeah, no, he's like, you know, that's why Magneto's like one of my favorite mutants. It's like, he's like, yeah, I'm with him, you know. I agree with him.
Yeah. You know? It's kind of neat too throughout the years how, you know, a lot of the X-Men start kind of coming to see his way of things as well. But yeah, so I think it's pretty incredible. Like I said, they've done a lot in these four episodes, which is only like 30 minutes a piece. And like I said, they just hit the ground running. And like I said, it was hard to beat that first episode. And then I saw the second one, like, man, it's hard to beat. And then even the animation and stuff and the hallucinations that the Goblin Queen was putting upon him and stuff. It was just like, the animation style kind of remind me of, like, you know, Batman animated series with Clayface with the twisting heads and stuff. And some of the stuff look like anime with the weird characters and stuff. Like when Beast opened the door, it was almost like this almost melted face and just.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just a trip, man.
That's the other thing, too, is that the style of the show is like they really found a way of like taking the old show and just like going, what's good about this? Mm-hmm. Let's keep that. You know, if you could say there was anything good about it. I mean, before this show, I wouldn't say that there was anything good about it, but they were literally able to take it and like put a nice polish on it. And, you know, so it doesn't look like anything else out there.
No.
You know what I mean? It doesn't look like what Warner Brothers has going on or what anything that Marvel has going on. It doesn't look like, you know, their What If.
Yeah.
It looks like X-Men 97.
Right.
You know, the old X-Men show, but better.
Right, right. In so many ways. It's, like I said, it's a trip to see. And you know what? It is not easy to be out in these cartoon superhero streets right now anyway. Because to be honest, my favorite like superhero animated show is like Invincible. And that's a whole other take on superheroes. So that's the one that, to me, with the action and the storyline and character development and stuff. Now, that show is great. So for this to be up there with that, and they're up there doing them. This is kind of sticking to the books. This is kind of sticking to the Bible of all these years of stories and people's, you know, interpretations and stuff. This is actually using what you have. It's your trick bag. And a lot of times everybody want to try to make it so cool and edgy and modern that they don't want to look back. Like they're embarrassed to look back. And so they don't want to have nothing associated with it. So what happens is you have a reskinned stranger that you're trying to sell off as your favorite characters. And we're looking like, no, thank you. This is not.
Yeah, that's not what I know.
It doesn't feel right, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, even if it's shallow and it looks the way we want it to look, if it don't feel right, then you're going to lose this as well. So yeah. It's just nice that they figured it out because Marvel doesn't have the best track record when it comes to animation or some of their stories and stuff. So for them to have, like, they had animated movies and one-offs and stuff like that, but I never seen nothing this good by them that covered so much stuff and true to the characters, a strong style, because, you know, sometimes they try to get too anime, sometimes they get a little too realistic, and like I said, they did this stuff like What If. I like how What If is, but I don't think that's not everybody's cup of tea. That wouldn't have been the way I would have went with it, even though I do.
Yeah,
I enjoy it, but I understand why people would not.
You know,
it's almost a little too real, but not real enough. It's almost like if you Disney-fied a character, you know. Marvel is not that kind of a vibe. So to have that style, it almost conflicts with what they're going through. It's like, okay, we'll do all this crazy stuff, but we look sweet. It's like, nah.
Yeah.
You need it to kind of match. And this matches the tone and vibe of the X-Men.
Yeah. I read somewhere that when they were developing What If, they were trying to put like a old, you know, Norman Rockwell type of feel on it. And I was like, you know, try to give it that classic. And I was like, you know, I like the show too. And I was like, I wouldn't have gone that direction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like the heyday of Marvel, what you're pulling from is not that.
But Marvel never looked like that at all. Even with Alex Ross, it didn't look like that. It never looked like that. So it was interesting. That's what they thought would represent them. Now, if they were doing like, you know, Agent Carter, her stuff would have been fine like that, but that's it. But all the other stuff, it's almost kind of like, It almost made it kiddie in a way, just because, like I said, the style didn't really, you know. But I did like how some of the character designs did look kind of like the actors and stuff. So some of them, they had some likenesses on, but some of it was almost, especially with the women, it was almost like so generic that they had to have this kind of look that they all kind of looked the same.
Yeah.
You know, or sort of characters didn't translate well when they tried to do them in that style, so.
I think I would have been almost happier if they would have just like the Clone Wars version of Marvel, you know, if they just like, okay, we're going to do this type of look for them, because the Clone Wars to Star Wars, it's close enough to where it's like, okay, this is Star Wars, but it's stylized and you know that that's Ewan McGregor, but it's Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know?
Yeah. Cause nobody really minds like, you know, being stylized, but you gotta be a strong style. It can't be a soft style. And like I said, it got to fit with the majority of what you're going to be telling. So you can't have these blocky, stiff characters on something that's going to be light and jumping around and all this other kind of stuff. Like you, that style should lend to what your character is going to be doing, especially in animation. Yeah. And so, like I said, that's this cookie cutter style to encompass all that stuff for Marvel. That was kind of, like I said, that wouldn't have been a choice. Like I said, because we have never seen those characters look like that. Like this right here, if you saw a still of the X-Men show, even if you didn't know who the artist was, you could tell that would be in a comic book. Like you could look in an old comic and be like, yeah, that's what he looked like, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, and it's good to see, cool to see Bishop on the team, you know, for when he, you know, why he was on the team. It's cool to see his power set and how they did it, how they used it, you know, once again, teaming up Scott, you know, lighting him up basically so he could do his thing. So I thought that was pretty dope. I love that Mojo episode where, you know, Sunspot and Kitty went into the video game, and just that whole style of the game, and it had some scenes from the game, and it was also playing like the game with the levels and stuff like that. It was just so authentic. And I knew, you know, it's funny because stuff like that, you would think, oh, you know, that could be easily done. No, to do anything that's kind of like a throwback is so hard to really encapsulate that without making a joke out of it. This does not make a joke out of any of it. The dress, how they dress, how they talk, hairstyles and all the rest of that kind of stuff. It's kind of like, it fits because they're doing it earnestly and you're not tripping about like, oh, okay. So so you could tell like it's nobody thought this was a joke. Nobody thought this was going to be funny. Nobody, you know, they were serious. And I love, like I said, the lane that they found with this show. And I hope that they'll be able to keep it up. Now, I'm pretty sure, at least the first two seasons for sure, is going to be more of the same because, you know, the same guy wrote it. But like I said, we'll see third or fourth or however they do it. And also we'll see, because like the smart thing would for this is to be like the lead in into the X-Men live action. But I don't know. It could be a jump off, but I never seen that done like that. That'd be interesting if they did do that. But if they're going to make it this full, you'll be a fool to have this not connected to what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like you're going to do this and then be like, you know, brand new slate. And just so you won't copy this again, you're going to do something that don't make no sense, you know? Because to be honest, in that movie, in that, the Marvels movie, and this is slight spoiler if you haven't watched it, but it's been out for a while. And you know, if you didn't,
I haven't, but I did see the post credit scene.
Exactly. So with Beast, even that, when I saw that, I was like, why it look now? It looked decent. It wasn't great, but look decent. And I was thinking like, he looked like the animated Beast.
Yeah, yeah. I hear that Kevin Feige is a huge fan of the old animated show.
Yeah.
And so that's why when they had Xavier in the Doctor Strange movie, that's why that Xavier is supposed to be.
Right.
He's supposed to be the animated.
Right.
To the animated Xavier, not the Fox Xavier.
Right.
And so I think that you might have a point. They might be going towards that, which is why they keep playing, you know, like when they showed Xavier, when they revealed that Miss Marvel was a mutant.
Yeah.
They played the old animated.
Yeah.
I think they're probably heading in that direction.
Yeah. So with this show, what do you think the chances are of the actual live action X-Men or X-Men being introduced? How do you think it's going to fare?
Well, I guess the plan now is that Feige is going to wrap up the Fox X-Men with Secret Wars.
Yeah, I believe so.
So, and then they'll use the Deadpool movie.
That's a clean
The Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah.
And the Secret Wars movie to kind of like format Marvel so that, you know, all of the Fox characters can fold in more seamlessly. Mm-hmm. And then at that time, they'll recast some of the X-Men people.
Right.
I mean, obviously, they're not going to recast Ryan Reynolds, and it'd be dumb, too.
Right.
So maybe they'll keep some of the, although I can't imagine who. I mean, I could see Kelsey Grammer staying around to voice Beast.
Yeah.
You know, because why not?
Because it's going to be fully animated anyway, you know, so.
Yeah. I don't know what they'll do with the rest of people. They need a new Storm.
Yeah, they do.
Actually liked the young kid that played Cyclops in the last two X-Men movies, but I just hated the movies.
Yeah, I like him, but I just think that, you know, to me, he's not the leader. He's not the quarterback vibe, you know what I mean? Or look, yeah, either. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I like him as an actor. But I think that when they originally cast him, the original guy.
Yeah, James Marsden.
Yeah, I think he was perfect. I just think
he was.
But the problem was a 6'3" Hugh Jackman. So that was a problem.
Yeah.
For height and for just the character just overpowering his character.
Yeah.
Because ideally, that's in my mind's eye, that's what he would look like, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, James Marsden was a good Cyclops.
Yeah. But that just goes to show you when you have a team situation and you have one player that's kind of different, how that can affect the whole thing. Like that movie, that whole. Our X-Men that we got, that whole thing would have been different if. Okay, so it's just interesting how things go as far as like how, you know, I understand why the studio did it. Hugh Jackman worked out. He tested well. He did well. People love him, right? So it's like more him. Give him more, right? Mm-hmm. But the right thing to do would be stick to the story. Because really, in the long run, you need the whole pot. You can't just have this one thing. You can, but why lose the whole thing? His popularity will only just grow with having less of them. But to just, you know, but just to disregard all these other characters just to make the point of somebody who's already winning, it's almost kind of like, why are you making casualties of all these great characters? Because these nuances all work together for a reason. We're seeing this on this one. Like I said, they could have made this. They even did the thing where there's, you know, Wolverine and the X-Men, where he was like the teacher for Wolverine, no teacher, no kids and stuff. Now he has ingenues that he hangs with that he picks out, like, you know, Shadow Cat or Rogue and stuff like that. But for him teaching, being in a school setting and teaching, like, that's just how popular he was. But I always liked him because he was always on the outside of everything. He's almost like Batman. Like, I'm not going to join the Justice League. You just call me when you need me. You know what I mean? Yeah. One of those kind of things. And it keeps the balance. Otherwise, it just gets to be, you know, one man show, and everybody got to be the fodder of that because everybody can't be number one. And if you're not a nuanced writer, it's going to be a mess. So you just got to get rid of everybody else, basically, or let them be the reason why you're good at that. So they have to be bad at this kind of thing, instead of just making everybody earn their place. So
everyone's there to
serve that character.
To serve that character, yeah.
Right.
To either oppose or.
Right.
And support,
this, and you know, and it's the only reason why that's a bad thing in this situation is because we have so many rich characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jean's whole thing can't be her love triangle, you know, with Scott and Wolverine. And Scott's thing can't just be he's a jealous boyfriend. And Wolverine's thing can't be he just wants Jean. And that's it. So I understand why they did it. It's easy to have that triangle. It's well known. You could work it. It gives you drama. You could stretch it out. But, you know, is that what we're here for? Is it worth losing everything else for that one trick? Is it worth losing all the rest of it? No.
And plus, like, being a longtime reader of X-Men, like, they got past it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there came a point where Logan respected Scott.
Yeah.
You know, came to respect Scott. So, you know, and it's gone back and forth over time. Like, people grow.
Right.
And they're just playing on the same thing over and over again. It's just like, when you don't have writers that are willing to change the status quo, you have to maintain who the characters are, but they, you know, change the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
Let characters grow, I guess, organically, then
it's
no good. So, yeah. I kind of almost feel like when they bring X-Men in, that I kind of feel like they should come in with the end of the 5 team and then start with the all new, all different X-Men.
Mm.
and then let everyone maybe, you know, like Wolverine maybe should just start with his own movie, you know, kind of like what they did Avengers.
Yeah.
Like every not every Avenger gets their own movie, but right. the main ones do. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Hawkeye doesn't need his own movie.
Right.
You know?
He had a series, but I did enjoy that.
Let each character have the media that will serve their story best.
Right.
And then when they come together, like you say, like back in the day, you'd say, you know, Captain America and Winter Soldier, that's his movie where we mm-hmm. see Captain America at his most characterized. Mm-hmm. And then when they get in the Avengers movie, then it's like everyone in an ensemble cast is kind of they become more of a trope of who they are, but that's mm-hmm. so they could serve the right. broader right. story.
Right.
But when you want to see them at their most characterized of who they are, then put them in their own story that allows them to be that. I mean, they did it with the Avengers, so just do it with the X-Men, you know?
Yeah. But to be honest, with the X-Men, I don't mind them being a team. I think it serves them better to be in a team. I think the Avengers copied a lot of stuff from the X-Men. They did the X-Men before the X-Men got a chance to really do it right. Because mm-hmm. really, with the Avengers, they were all solo entities. Like, they had their own villains, they had their own place that they were, and all this other kind of stuff. So they had lives before. So it kind of made sense for Marvel to do that with those characters. One, for introduction, so you could take time to get to know them because they already have fandom of their own, and mm-hmm. then to bring them together as the Avengers because they were like the characters that did all right, but let's put them together and make people feel like they get more for their dollar. But they were always kind of meant to be separate. X-Men was yeah. always a team.
Always meant,
so
always
that's
a
different.
Team, yeah.
They were always yeah. a team. So they always had this shorthand that was kind of built in, like that's the quarterback and that's the, you know, the tough kid that smokes and that's the goth girl. And so those kind of things that, like I said, the Avengers is known for now, X-Men was always that. And so yeah. they just need to go ahead and take that back. Now, Wolverine, because he's so damn popular, I understand him getting his solo show. But yeah. to be honest, those characters aren't made to have their own, who is their bad guy? You know what I mean? They don't have
yeah.
individual stories like that that would be almost enough to be like, hey, I'm asking for that story. Now, could somebody create one? Yes. But that kind of a character, no. It's like Voltron. You like them together as Voltron. Now, could Swin have his own or Pidge have his own story? He could, they could, but you know, you have to work hard because you kind of want to see them in their place. Yeah. You want to see them as a team. So that's one reason I think, like I said, X-Men is a little bit different than that because they were kind of built to be together versus the solo acts came together
separate,
as a super
yeah,
group
yeah.
as for a different kind of reasoning.
Yeah.
But not to say it can't be done, but I'm just saying when you hear like Captain America have his own movie, all right. Iron Man have his own movie, all right. Hulk have his own, all right. Thor, all right. Yeah. Yeah. Rogue have her own movie, huh?
No.
Beast
no,
have his
no,
own
no.
movie, huh? Nightcrawler
yeah, no,
has his
no.
own movie, huh? You know, not that they can pull off, but I'm just saying it don't even ring the same.
They should all be part of the
right.
part of the X-Men.
Right,
I just think that maybe there are certain storylines that they could probably, like Wolverine is probably of the main team the only one who could like pull off and have his own movie or show. Certain storylines where you could be like have like one season of like Rogue's introduction can be in Captain Marvel, you know what I mean?
Right.
Before she becomes an X-Man.
Yeah, like I said, I don't mind them being introduced. I'm just saying I don't think they're all worthy to have their own movie. Now to have shows, yeah, that's fine. Just like they did Falcon and Winter Soldier. You got Dana Life stuff. You could have like, you know, Gambit going back to the Bayou, and that'd be interesting. Because they had one-off episodes like that in the old show where he would go and meet his old crew of thieves and stuff like that. So everybody, you know, or Storm goes back to her country, and then people are looking at her different, and her life is different now when she goes back. And all. So they have episodes like that. But like I said, but to be like, I want, you know, as much as I dig Storm, do I want a Storm movie? I don't know what that would be.
No, other than Wolverine, I don't think many of them could support a movie.
And once upon a time, Wolverine couldn't either, but he was so popular that they continuously made stuff for him. I remember when they didn't even know how Wolverine had his claws, because before they acted like it was this thing that he went through and they gave him the claw. Even before that, they didn't even say that. So, you know, I was around when it was just a mystery, and it was interesting to see the different things that kind of changed and then changed to him always having, you know, bone claws underneath. I'm like, but what about the procedure he had to get the claws put in from, you know, all this stuff? So it constantly, and the Weapon X stuff that came later, Like, I remember he was just simply Wolverine. You didn't know where the claws came from. There's been an effort of building him up, and that's fine. But I do remember feeling a ways when they start revealing stuff, and I felt like it's almost like knowing too much about a thing, you know? And not that it's not a bad thing, but I just remember when it wasn't that complicated. And some of the stories worked, and some of the stories were But he's been through a lot. But it's been a long time, and there's nothing wrong with that. But they did dedicate that time to build him up to have that.
Yeah.
And the only time they would deal with Storm outside is when she married Black Panther. You know what I mean? They would use her for things like that, or Rogue would come in to do this or that. So it's just, you know. But it's going to be interesting to see how they pull this off. I do think this show is going to make it hard for them, unless they're going to, like I said, if they're going to ride this into the live action and be like, to us, it's a cartoon. To them, this is real. So they'll keep talking and acting like they were on this show, you know. But so with what you saw so far on these first four episodes, is there anything that you're looking forward to seeing in the next episodes coming out or in the future of the show?
I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm along for the ride. I heard that the Nightcrawler is going to be in the next episode, and I'm hoping he gets to become more of the team or show out a little bit, because I like Nightcrawler.
Me too.
I don't remember. I didn't, like I said, I wasn't a huge fan of the old show, so I didn't really get into it. And half the time that I did, it was on the TV. I didn't pay attention that much. Did they ever touch on Dazzler and
a little bit? She showed up on
Longshot.
Longshot, yes. He was in a Mojo episode.
Nice, nice. My favorite, other than the current run, which is amazing, which I hope they don't do anything like that for years to come, because it's so far down the road. But my favorite timeline, I think we were talking about this the other day, my favorite timeline of X-Men books is the whole like John Byrne stuff, all the way through to when he was writing and drawing the book, and then the early John Romita drawing.
I love John Romita.
And then through the Mark Silvestri stuff during the Fall of the Mutants and the Goblin Queen stuff, when the X-Men were all criminals and everyone thought they were dead and they were on the run and they were in Australia, and you had a Gateway, you know, teleporting in places. And that's my jam right there. Everyone, you know, thought that Xavier was dead, and like the costumes, and you know, Silvestri just had that scratchy style, and
it fit the vibe of what was going on too.
Morlocks had been murdered by Mr. Sinister, and Angel lost his wings, and it was like a really dark period for the X-Men, you know what I mean? That was that's my jam right there.
That's right on.
I love that time period.
I think my fondest is probably Romita. I don't know. It's just, like I said, I kind of go by story, but I also go by the styles and stuff. And I don't know. I've always been a fan of X-Men. Like I said, there's been definitely highlights of art and story for the most part. And that's what I always kind of give, because it's almost like certain comics you just kind of disappear on. You don't really go back. But X-Men, I always seem to, even if I've been away for a minute, I'm like, wait a minute, I love this artist style, or I look, this looks interesting in the storyline, and you just kind of like just dive back in. So I like that it's one of those kind of books or those kind of characters that are malleable enough to continue this long, and you could just kind of jump in and you can play with it without breaking it, you know. But how good the story is going to be, that could depend on who you have in charge, and if they, you know, have a good run at it, and hopefully not so good to where they're like, oh, okay, let's put them on some other book, and you come in and it's like a whole other story, or they have to rush the story because they had a big old plan, but they got pulled early, and so now somebody else got to come in, and they have a whole other direction, all that stuff. So it could be tricky. It could be tricky. And so like you, I am just, you know, staying open to see what's next. Like I said, I wasn't expecting four straight bangers of episodes, so I'm looking forward to what's coming next without any kind of judgment. I just, like I said, I just want more of the art style. I want more of the character development and seeing how they put this puzzle together.
It's
impressive.
That last episode, there were some shots, like the whole interactions between Storm and Forge.
Yeah.
I was like, how are you guys getting that much emotion? Mm-hmm. I think I talked to you about it before, as like I was saying, like when it comes to animation, they have to like over exaggerate the silhouette of the character to express emotions, because you can't get as much in the a line drawn character mm-hmm. that as you can get in the subtleties that you can get in the human face for acting.
Right.
But they had some looks, man. Storm was giving Forge some looks, and right. I was, you know, when she found out what he did, and right. I was like, how are you guys getting this with animation? They did a good job,
yeah,
with the acting.
Yeah.
And 10 minutes yeah. worth of stuff, I was yeah. like, that's what really, like, that was some of the stuff that really impressed me. I was like, the fact that they were able to show so much of the emotion and inner turmoil in the relationship between Forge and Storm, not only through the acting of the animated characters, but also the writing to be able to get us to that point yeah. in 10 minutes.
Exactly.
Like, she just met him at the beginning of that, and now, like,
he's professing his love.
Yeah. And it didn't feel weird either.
Right. I'm like, you got some people like that. Like, okay, I'll allow it. Because it was just kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. How long? She been staying with you more than a week? It seemed like she been with you 2 days.
He was in love. Like, let's get to this part. I'm in love.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
He's in love. But yeah, like I said, sometimes it'd be little stuff to be like, huh? But it fits. They make it work. They make it work. And so, like I said, this show is amazing. Like I said, if I need something I want on in the background, or I'm working on something or editing or whatever, I'm having that show on. Like I said, I really like it that much. I'm serious. I like it that much, that much. We're going to have another conversation about this when we get a couple more episodes under our belt. But then also what I want to do at the very end is like maybe picking turns, picking like 2 or 3 episodes that we really enjoy, and we kind of dig in with that and kind of explore that kind of thing. Like I said, it's just so many moments in all this stuff, but I almost hate to say what my favorite is, just because I have a sneaky suspicion that it might be the next
so
I think we'll get a better view of this situation once it's done, and we could, like I said, we'll pick a couple episodes and dig in and maybe tap Ryan to see what he thought and what episodes he's feeling.
Man, oh, Magneto telling those folks, taking them up there and oh boy, man, that was some good riding, man. Like, Magneto was like, this is what you deserve,
right?
But I made a promise,
right?
Oof,
I made a promise to my fallen friend,
man. The feeling I got watching that episode is the feeling I got reading the first time I read God Loves, Man Kills. You know, the feeling of who Magneto is, they captured it in that right there. I was just like, man, that's
yeah, because you could tell that all the restraint and calm about it. And like I said, it's animated, but you could feel, like, you could see, like, the inner workings of his mind. Like, you're lucky. You know how, you know, like, your mama could give you a look, like, you pushing your luck. Like, he was given that kind of thing. Like, y'all haven't seen anything. You know, I'm trying to be nice. Don't push me. And he didn't even have to say that, but you got it. And also the characters seem to have gotten it too, because they let him go, because they know it's going to be more of a problem to keep him. So they knew. So, but yeah, I'm just looking forward to more of that. Just more of that. More, please. Do you have any final words before we head out?
No, I'm excited to see where it goes. I just hope Marvel proper is taking notes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, this show just set the bar pretty high for what they need to give us for an MCU X-Men. You know what I mean? First of all, they need to give us a Scott that's...
You can't take this Scott back away from us. You can't take him. We like him. He's still a little messed up, but we let's stop here. We like this Scott. Let's, you know.
Man, I didn't know I could feel that way about Scott. You know, there's been time in the books when I was like, oh, okay, yeah, Scott's cool. But, he
got them hands. He got, not only does he got those hands, he got them beams.
He got them beams.
And he uses them like it makes sense. But you know what the truth is? As much time as they spend in the danger room, that's the stuff they should be doing. That makes sense.
Yeah.
He would specialize in that kind of stuff. All these different scenarios and stuff. So it wouldn't be no normal kind of combat. It would be all this weird, crazy scenario stuff. because they're fighting stuff like sentinels and stuff inside the danger room. What do you think? Some racist dudes, he gonna handle them. You know what I mean? Yeah. That'd be short work. And it could have been a simple like beam, 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 beam. But instead, like I said, he was,
man. He's like, I need to get from point A to point B.
Right.
What's the fastest way I can do that?
Right. Oh,
yeah. In the danger room last week, I was sliding.
Man, I ain't seen nothing like that dope since Obi Brown. Like,
how are you even cooler under your mask?
I was just cool the whole time.
You know what I mean? Sky had that swag, right? Like, I was always this cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just didn't know it.
It's like that feeling of the leader who is so reserved and shy until it comes time to step up, and then he shows who he is and what he's capable of. And yeah.
Yeah. The crazy thing is, Scott seems like kind of like, you know, kind of a jerk and kind of cocky. So he always should have been kind of moving like this. Even though we wasn't getting this, this didn't feel out of character at all. This almost makes sense to what he should have been, because the way his arrogance is, and I got the best looking girl, and the way he'd be moving didn't make sense. This makes sense to that kind of a type person. Talking slick and kind of showing off and kind of braggish a little bit, used to getting his way and all this other kind of stuff. Like,
yeah,
this fits. Like, they actually made him act like he should. A person who would look like that, who would kind of have these kind of abilities, a person who's in charge. And he's not a timid leader. He wants to be a leader. So to see him kind of, you know, peacocking, this is nice. Like I said, I haven't seen it done like this with him, but it sure fits his profile type. It sure does.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he spent a lifetime with Professor X putting that on his shoulder, and then he grew into it.
Right, right. Like, he gonna live up to that thing. Like, I earned this. So he would feel, you know, extra butthurt if somebody skipped the line on him or didn't listen to him. He wouldn't be like Wolverine slide. I think he'd be up in Wolverine's behind. Like, it wouldn't just be like these looks. He'd be like, oh, come this way. Now, he would lose, but he'd still be like...
Yeah.
He would make Wolverine earn it. Put it like that. He wouldn't be letting that stuff slide. So all that side talking he'd be doing Wolverine and talking to him, that's my girl. Nah. Cyclops would try to figure it out. He'd work out a way to get you.
He'd be the kind of character to know when to respond to Wolverine.
Right.
And when to like...
And also when to remind him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, hey, Logan, come here. I need to talk to you for a second. And he'd blast it through the wall.
Oh, man.
Go sleep in the doghouse while you're out there.
To me, my X-Men.
To me, my X-Men. And then I thought it was funny that Magneto ended up saying the same line after Scott at the end of the episode. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
But they're actually his X-Men. So that line was used twice. So, like I said, that's the title of the episode. And Scott used it first, which was dope. But then Magneto used it at the end, which was even doper.
To say, like, yeah, they're mine now.
Yeah, they're mine now.
Pop's tripping, man. You want me to ask for my bike back?
It's right here. Follow me, homie.
Yeah, it's just like it's both ours. We just keep it down at my house.
Cool.
That's my bike, punk!
They got debowed.
Yeah, they...
That's my bike.
My bike. I thought we could share. You know, my mama bought me this bike.
It could just be both our X-Men. We just keep both our X-Men.
We just keep it at my house. We just both our bikes. I know. Keep them at my house. Debo.
The bike's been punk.
Run! It's Magneto. Walk around crushing stuff.
Oh my god.
All right, on that note, we're getting too silly.
Yeah.
All right, well, man, it was great having you. It was great discussing with you. I'm looking forward to our next conversation, and I'm also looking forward to seeing what's going to happen next.
Yes, yes.
All right, so it's been Jay and Eric / Eponymous Prime. Till next time.
Till next time.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace. Thank you.
Pop's tripping, man. You want me to ask for
my X-Men
back? You know I wouldn't trip.
What X-Men?
What I've been asking you about.
Oh, that X-Men.
Hey, no, you wanted it back, homie.
It's right here. Follow me, homie.
Yeah, it's just like it's both ours. We just keep it down in my house.
Cool.
X-Men.
Talk!
You got nine.